Good morning, Northwoods Online. My name's Hope.
My name's Kayla.
And we are so excited to welcome you to church this morning. You know, we're kicking off a brand new series today.
That's right. It's all about work and how that works in the kingdom of God. And it's called Made for Mondays. It's going to be a great series.
Yeah, I'm so excited. And, you know, I think probably many of you watching all have some kind of job or work that you are pouring your heart into. And so today, John is just going to start that series and we're going to learn, you know, what does it mean to give God our best in the workplace. So I think it's going to be a really awesome series and really would be a great opportunity for you maybe to invite a coworker to tune in with you online, maybe have them over for breakfast or something like that, and or share the link with them. But I think it's probably going to be a good conversation starter in the workplace.
Yeah. So what are you doing on Sunday morning? You want to wash together, coworker?
Yeah. That'd be great.
Great. Just want to make sure. Also, this weekend is a communion weekend. Yeah. So if you're joining us online, make sure you have your elements ready. That'll be happening during the service. Whatever you have, crackers, breads, some type of juice, just have those ready for us to receive communion this morning.
Yeah. And then, you know, we have the usual things, which so if you've been tuning in online with us for a while, you know that we would love for you to fill out the connection card so that we can just know that you're watching. You can check off for some more information about things that are coming up. You can send in a prayer request, whatever that might be, but we would just love to connect with you. And also, if you are new, we are so glad that you're here.
That's right.
And would love for you to text the word new to the number on your screen. That'll actually put you in communication with me, and I can answer any questions you might have about the church. And again, just help you get better connected here.
Yeah. And for those of you who've been with us for a while, you know the chat is always going on during service, whether you're on Facebook or Northwoods Online. Yeah. It's a great place to just say hello where you're tuning in from, meet some other people of our Northwoods Online family, but it also is a place where you can request prayer. If you've got something going on, big or small, that you would love some encouragement and some prayer for, I encourage you to drop that in the chat, and we have people ready to pray with you right now.
Yeah. So that's all that we have for you. We're so excited to get service kicked off. So do what you need to do to get ready, to get your attention set and ready for worship. Northwoods Online starts right now.
Good morning, Northwoods family. Let's stand. We're going to sing some songs of praise. Are y'all ready today? Come on, we're going to sing some songs of praise. Y'all ready? Come on, we believe God is worthy. Here we go. Whoa. we sing it, it's done.
Enthroned upon our praises. So let's make a throne for him today. Let's give him something he's worthy of today. So let praise.
Let praise be a weapon that silences the enemy. Let praise be a weapon that conquers all anxiety. Let it arise, let praise arise. We sing your name in the dark and it changes everything. We sing with all we are and we claim your victory. Let it arise, let praise arise. Break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. Fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side. Forever lift him high. When all creation cry, God, we praise you. Oh, 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 oh. We praise you.
Break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. are so thankful that you are a God of love and joy and faithfulness and forgiveness that never ends. God, you are good in every season and every moment. Let's sing this together. I love you, Lord. For your mercy never fails me. And all my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
The Spirit of God is in this room today, and where the Spirit resides, there is freedom. And when there's freedom, there's restoration, there is healing, there is change, there is transformation. by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Matthew 11 says, come to me, you who are weary. I don't know about you, church, but today I'm broken and I need Jesus today. Come on, let's sing together. I've carried a burden for too long on my own. I wasn't created to bear it alone. I hear your invitation to let it all go. And I see it now, I'm laying it down, and I know that I need you. Come on, I run to the Father, I fall into grace, I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend, so I run to the Father.
You are such a good, good God. Lord, that you love us when we have done nothing to earn it, that you give us grace when we've done nothing to earn it. Lord, that you open your arms wide and you want us to run into them. And we have the privilege of being loved and held by you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for that love. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be right in here with us today, that you would wash over us. Lord, that you would open our hearts to receive your word today. Open our ears to hear what you have for us. And Lord, it's in your name we pray, amen. You can go ahead and be seated. Well, good morning. My name is Janine, and we are so glad you've joined us today as we kick off our brand new series called Made for Mondays. Now, here toward the end of the service, we are going to be having communion, so hang on to your communion cups. And for those of you who are watching online, now would be a good time to gather your elements for that. Now, if you're new, we want to give you a great big welcome. We're so glad you're here. And we also want to know a little bit about you, and we want to be able to share with you a little more about Northwoods. And the best way to do that is if you would text the word new to the number on your screen, and then one of our pastors will reach out to you sometime this week. And I promise we're not going to make it weird, and we're not going to stalk you. We just want to get a little connected with you. Now, for everyone else here, we want to know that you're here with us for the service. And so you know the drill. Open up your Northwoods app and go to the connection card and complete the connection card. And you'll see when you get into the connection card, there's a list of different ministries there. I'm going to cover those here in just a few minutes. But while you're in there, share any prayer requests that you might have, or ask us some questions or share your feedback. We really do want to hear from you. The connection card is the best way for us to connect with one another. Well, you know, connection is such an essential part of our lives. And let's face it, there are times in life when life is just not going the way we expected it to. It's not going smoothly, and we need others to walk with us and support us and pray with us as we are trying to find our way through the difficulties. You know, many of you know my story, that 3 years ago, we lost our 19-year-old daughter in a car accident. And I only tell you that today because I want you to know that I would not be standing here doing what I'm doing now and being able to be the person that I am today without the love, support, and prayers of people like you, my church family, who has come around me and helped me. And here at Northwoods, we have support groups that can help get through those difficult times. We provide a safe environment to get the help that you need right now. So I'd like to encourage you to go to northwoods.church/support groups to get more information on the different support groups we have, like Regen. This is a great ministry that'll help with addictions and life-controlling issues. They meet weekly throughout the year, and they walk through a biblical 12-step program. Or Divorce Care, rediscovering joy through the pain of a broken marriage. Or Single and Parenting. I don't know about you guys, but I believe parenting is the hardest job in the world. And we're learning that it doesn't stop when they turn 18. It just continues and gets a little harder or a little different. But the only thing I can think that's harder than being a parent is being a single parent and doing it on your own. So at Single and Parenting, you can find inspiration and encouragement, along with some great tools and advice with others who are in the same area that you're in. And Grief Share. Grief Share is a place where you can come together with others who have lost a loved one and learn how to face those challenges and find joy again and that new normal. It really does help, and it really does happen. And then finally, Pure Desire. This is a place, a group that'll come around you and help you find the freedom from unwanted sexual behaviors. It's an incredibly encouraging group that'll help you walk through that together. So I want to encourage you again to go to northwoods.church/support groups or choose one of the selection on the connection card, and someone will reach out to you about that. Well, none of these ministries could be made possible without your generosity and your faithful giving. And we have many different ways that you can do that. You can drop your offering off today in any of the drop boxes found around the church, or you can use the mobile app. You can go online, drop it in the mail, or you can even text it to the number on your screen. Well, with all of that being said, you can always access everything I mentioned this morning on our website or our mobile app. So now let's get ready as Pastor John shares today's message with us.
Good morning, church. Great to see all of you on this Labor Day weekend. Kind of feels like fall out there, doesn't it? It's nice to see some weather that's a little bit more bearable outside, right? We had a few hot ones the last couple of weeks. And, you know, I'm excited as we kick off a new series, like Janine said today, titled Made for Monday. It's a series all about work. And so we're going to jump in just one moment. But, you know, yesterday I was cleaning out my garage. We've been in the middle of kind of demoing our children's bathroom, our kids' bathroom. And so I've had a lot of stuff just piling up in the garage. You know, you got junk from the, you know, taking the bath out, flooring, you got tables, saws, all kinds of stuff. You know, as I was cleaning out, actually my garage had gotten so full that I couldn't even get my car in. And what a novel idea of using your garage to put your car in instead of just storing stuff in there. And as I was pulling it out, all this stuff I had to get my car back in, I had the thought that, you know what, our heart and our mind is a lot like a garage, in that sometimes we got so much going on in our heart and our mind that it's hard to get anything else in there. That's true when it comes to hearing God's word and listening to God's voice, that sometimes we have so many things going on in our heart and our mind that it's hard to hear what he's saying. And so I just got the sense that today, before we start, it might be a good idea for us to just quiet our heart and our mind, because you know what? If you're like me, there's times that you come here to church. There's times when you watch online and, you know, you're here, but you're not here, because there's so many things going on in life that are going on in your mind and your heart. The worries, whatever's on my plate coming up this week. Maybe you had a fight coming over here in the car. There's just certain things going on. And so I just thought it'd be a great time for us, just for a moment. Will you do this with me? Let's just quiet our hearts for the Lord and give those to him so that we can truly hear from him this morning. And so, Lord, again, we come before you this morning. And we know that sometimes we have so many things rolling through our minds and our hearts, Lord. You talked about the worries of this world that choke out, keep us from hearing what you're trying to say, Lord. Maybe it's something on our plate that we have coming up this week that is just a distraction right now, Lord. I just pray that you would take all of those this morning. We release those to you. And Lord, we open our mind and our heart to you. And we ask you to park your truth in our minds and our hearts today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, church. Thanks for doing that with me. Well, like I said, we're kicking off a new series titled Made It for Monday. So let me ask you, have any of you listening today happen to see any help wanted signs around town? Anybody seen these? Now hiring? Yeah. You know, my wife was told me she was driving by Dairy Queen just up here on Knoxville yesterday, and they have a sign out there out front, and it says $13 an hour to start, plus free ice cream for employees. They're trying hard. I thought about, like, I might just go pick up a shift and get free ice cream for being an employee. That's a perk right there. And if you've done any type of traveling this summer, you probably realize it isn't just a Central Illinois issue. It's a nationwide issue. It seems like almost every place you go, there is a shortage of workers. Workers needed, help wanted, hiring now. Now, I'm sure there are a myriad of reasons for why this is occurring in our country, and I'm not trying to be too simplistic about it. But I can't help but wonder if one of the reasons that is contributing is simply because we have lost a biblical perspective on work. Now, that might lead us to ask, well, how would we know? How would we know if we're losing a biblical perspective on work? Well, that's a good question. And to answer that, I want to share with you a few thoughts that a professor and theologian whom I really trust and respect, I've always respected his work, his name's Wayne Grudem. I want to share with you a portion of what he shared in a keynote teaching he did back in 2011 titled The Theology of Work. So here's what he had to say. He said, if a biblical view of work is lost, a secular worldview will tend towards two harmful consequences. The first consequence is workaholism, meaning work becomes your God. When this happens, suicide and divorce rates are high. People have large homes, they have nice cars, they take luxurious vacations, but inwardly, their lives, their families, their marriages are falling apart. That's kind of the first consequence. And we'll kind of speak more into that a little bit next week. But then the second consequence he talked about, and today I really want to touch on this, is he said consequence number two when you lose a biblical worldview is laziness and poor work habits. I want you to listen to what he said about this. He said, meaning, we will see our country begin to place a value on getting something for nothing. There will be a propensity to think those who do well are lucky and those who don't are just the recipients of bad luck or a system that is rigged. There will be a tendency to not only envy those who do well, but to also guilt and shame them. We will begin to see arguments for reward not given for a job well done, but on some form of a non-merit-based system. Entitlement will begin to pervade. People will become consumers and not producers, takers and not makers. Among those who change the goodness of work for laziness, the goal of life will be to increase leisure pursuits and pursue retirements that lead to little productivity. So Grudem is saying, in essence, if we lose a biblical perspective of work, you will see one of these two consequences, or both. You'll see workaholism, where work becomes God, or you'll see it fall over here into laziness and poor work habits, where people are after something for nothing. Let me ask you, are you seeing any of those consequences play out in our country right now? Considering some of what Grudem shared, I think it's safe to say that we are beginning to lose a biblical perspective on work. And so in this series, Made for Monday, the goal is simply to turn back to God's word and rediscover what God says about work. Now, in a few moments, we're gonna look at a passage of scripture in Ephesians 6, 5 through 8 that really shows us how we connect whatever we're doing to God's work. So if you have your Bible, you can put a marker there because we're going to get there soon. That's Ephesians 6, 5 through 8. But before we do, I think it's important that we lay a proper foundation for this entire series by briefly examining why work has value and matters. Why work has value and matters. And to do that, let's go back to the very beginning in Genesis. Okay, now the first couples of chapters of Genesis 1 and 2, that's the creation account. God created the world, Adam and Eve. We find what their life was like in the Garden of Eden. And Genesis 1 and 2 reflects God's original intent for creation. But then Genesis 3, this is where the fall happens. Sin enters the world as Adam and Eve partake of the tree that God forbid them to. And everything is now tainted by the effects of sin. So Genesis 1 and 2, God's original intent for creation. Genesis 3, the fall happens. Everything's tainted. Let me ask you, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but when would you think that work was instituted? Was it in Genesis 1 and 2, or was it after the fall in Genesis 3? Was work a part of God's original intent, or was work a product of the fall and the curse that came upon the earth through sin? Back when I was in high school, I worked here at Northwoods on our campus services team. And one summer, there was some parking lot, and I shouldn't just say some, there was a lot of parking lot work that needed to be done. There were cracks that needed to be filled in the parking lot, and those are some big parking lots with a lot of cracks. Just look how many cracks there are when you walk out there, right? That we just got them all sealed up, but you can kind of still see them under there. So there were cracks that needed to be filled, and there were places where tar had been used to fill cracks in the past that was pulling up. So you could walk up there and you could just pull a whole chunk of tar right out of a crack. Now, again, those parking lots are huge. And so pretty much my job that entire summer was sitting out in the middle of those large blacktop parking lots in the dead heat of the summer with not a shade tree in sight, with a blowtorch hooked to a giant propane tank, heating up old tar and melting it back into place. Worst job ever. I hated every single moment of it. Now, the one good thing that did come out of that summer is I developed a prayer life, because every day I came to work, I was praying for rain. Lord, open the floodgates today. Open the heavens. I know you promised you'd never flood the earth again, but you can flood this parking lot right now. Please, Lord. I will do anything else than sit out here and heat up tar. But from that experience, I concluded that work had to have been a part of the curse in Genesis 3, because all it ever made me want to do is curse. You ever been there before? Work is often a great source of frustration, isn't it? Doesn't matter if the workplace is in your home, the classroom, a factory floor, the farm, or a cubicle, work can be frustrating. So naturally, we would think that work came after Genesis 3 as a result of the curse. But a closer look shows us that while work was definitely impacted by the fall, and there was a certain toil added to work, and corrupted by sin's entrance into the world, the truth is work was a part of God's original intent and creation in Genesis 1 and 2. So let me just real quick point this out to you, and in the process show you three quick reasons why work has value and matters. Okay, so reason number one why work has value and matters is because God is a worker. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about him. We don't always think of God in this way, but that's what we see him doing from the very first verse in Scripture, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It says he created. And the Bible labels this activity of creating as work. Look at what Genesis 2:2 says. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. So he rested on the seventh day, but that doesn't mean he just rested for the rest of time. Because we find in the New Testament, if we move on, We find that even today, God continues to work. As we skip ahead to the New Testament, look at what Jesus said to the Pharisees. He said, "My Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working." God is a worker. And this should tell us something about work. If God is a worker and God can do nothing that is not good, then this tells us that work is a good thing that has value. So why does work have value and matter? Because God is a worker. Reason number two why work has value and matters is because God created people as workers. If we go back to the creation account, we find that humans, you and I, were created in the image of God. And part of being created in his image means being created in the image of a worker. Genesis 1:26, then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness." And now I want you to just think about this. It says, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness." From the very beginning, there's shadows right there of the Trinity. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all involved. Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So we were created in the image of God, who is a worker. And from the very beginning, we were charged with ruling over creation and subduing it. That's work. You and I were created as workers. Yes, work became more difficult after the fall, but work was a part of God's original plan for us. I remember one spring break when I was around 9 or 10, we were down in Florida, and we were getting ready to head out on a boat with a friend to do some deep sea fishing in the Gulf of Mexico. And I remember telling my dad, you know, Dad, I would love to retire by the time I'm about, you know, 30 and just fish. You know, just get up every morning, grab those little small powdered little donuts, you know, a tall glass of OJ, and just go out and fish. That sounds like way more fun than work, right? I just want to wet a line somewhere. That's all I want to do. No, why would I work? And in the same way, a lot of us hold on to that mindset. We think that if I never had to work again, that's where true fulfillment would be found. But the Bible paints a different picture. Since we were created to work, there's a sense in which you will never find fulfillment avoiding work at all costs. Why? Because you cannot violate God's design and expect to find fulfillment. Can't do it. We were created to work. So why does work hold value and matter? Because God is a worker. We were created as workers. And then lastly, reason number three, God creates us, created us to be co-workers with him. We're not just here to work for ourselves, but to work with God. Look back at Genesis again. After God creates man, look at what he does. It says in Genesis 2:15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. This is before the fall, to work it and take care of it. You know, I was thinking about that scripture this week. And one day, in accordance with that scripture, when my kids get older, I'm going to take them and place them in my yard to work it and take care of it. And when they ask why, I'm going to say, this is why your mom and I had you, so you could take care of my lawn. Enjoy it. Now, listen, that's me. I'm joking. But God didn't just create us so we could work and he could sit back. That sounds like a nice thing, but that's not just how God did it, right? But there's a sense in which just as a family, we work together to care for our home. So in the family of God, we work together with God to care for and cultivate creation. We work with him as co-workers. The only difference is he creates, we cultivate. For example, God created and gave us the raw materials for this pulpit right here. Someone took the raw materials that God created of carbon and iron and brought about steel. Then someone took that steel and fashioned it. Then someone dreamt up a design for how to use that steel. And then someone built it and put it together. And then someone sold it and added value to the world. And just while we're on the topic, right, someone sold this for a profit. Profits are not a bad thing. If I have a piece of, you know, I have the materials to make bread for a dollar and I sell it to you for $2, that means that I've added value to what God has created. That's a good thing. I've added value from something God created. And if you're paying $2 for it, that means, you know what? That has some value to me. Profit's not a bad thing. I'm not talking about exploiting people, but profits are not bad. Someone sells it, it adds value. So God creates, we cultivate. We were created to partner with him. And what's interesting about this passage is the word in Hebrew used for work, when he says he placed him in the Garden of Eden to work, is the Hebrew word there is the word avad. And if you study that word, you find it can be used in a multitude of different ways. Author Tom Nelson, in his book, Work Matters, writes this about that word. He said, the Hebrew word is translated in various ways in the Old Testament. It's rendered as work, service, craftsmanship in many instances, yet other times it's translated as worship. That's interesting. I want you to recognize that one of the ways we worship God is through our work. We don't just worship God on Sunday and then go to work on Monday. Your work is worship. Partnering with God through our work and cultivating what he has created is an act of worship. So why does work hold value and matter? Because number one, God is a worker. Number two, God created us as workers. And number three, God creates us to be co-workers with him. So with this in mind, we should begin to see that work is not first and foremost about an exchange of goods or about financial compensation. Those are aspects of work. But work, at the most basic, fundamental level, is an integral part of who we were designed to be. And therefore, work matters. Yes, it can be difficult. It can be frustrating and a major pain. But we need to be careful that we don't make it our life's goal to avoid work and live for the weekend, because the truth is, we were made for Monday. We were created to work. Now, with that foundation laid, I want to spend the rest of our time talking about how we can connect our work to God's work. See, what becomes difficult is understanding how do the assembling of parts on a factory floor relate to God? How does servicing a car relate to the kingdom? How does data entry connect to God? What does homemaking have to do with the kingdom? How does working at a restaurant and giving menus and taking orders and bringing food and cleaning up relate to God? It's not always just in plain sight for us to see that. So how do we connect our work to God's work? Well, we do this by shifting the way we view our work. And so now as we turn to Ephesians 6:5, that's where we're going to be if you have your Bible, Ephesians 6:5, I want to unpack three shifts we need to make if we're going to connect our work to God's work. So the first shift is this: recognize that work is about more than serving a human boss. It's about serving a heavenly king. Work is about more than serving a human boss. It's about serving a heavenly king. And I'll show you this. Now, Ephesians 6:5 is set in a larger context that involves instructions for households and relationships. So the Apostle Paul talks about husbands and wives, parents and children. And then he gets to the employee, what I'm labeling employee-employer relationship. Let's pick it up in Ephesians 6:5. He says, "Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ." Now, let's stop there for a minute really quick and let's talk about that word slaves, because I know this can be a trigger word. In that time, when the Apostle Paul was writing, it's estimated that there were around 60 million slaves in the Roman Empire, and this was an accepted institution. But I want you to understand that the Bible doesn't prescribe everything, it describes. When the Apostle Paul wrote this to slaves, he wasn't saying, here, slavery, this is a good thing. Because he went on to say in verse 9 that people are equal before God, but he was simply speaking to the order of the day and the situation that many of his people that would have been reading his letters, the situation they would have been in. This is how many people in the Roman Empire, including Christians, made a living. They served in households as pretty much as slaves to make money. This is how they made their money. And so I want you to think of those words slave and master and for our terms as employee and employer. So he says, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart. And then he says, just as you would obey Christ. Now here's the point. When we work, we're not just working to serve the man. I get it. That's part of it. But I think we could learn how to better connect our work to God if we learn that I'm not just serving the boss man or the boss lady. Yes, that's part of it. But ultimately, you are serving God in what you do. You are serving the king through your work. You're under a higher authority. When I was much younger, I used to work at a golf course. And so part of my job was, you know, we'd clean the driving range. We'd put out buckets of balls. We'd wash the golf carts that came in after they were done after a round. We'd carry people's golf bags, clean off their clubs after a round for tips. And so we're always constantly, doing kind of odds and ends. And we had a pretty tight-knit crew of workers that worked together on those jobs. And part of what brought all the workers together was our common disdain for the club pro, who was our boss. Kind of like, you know, just disliking the main guy is what brought us all together. And I remember we'd be working out there, and we'd constantly be doing all kinds of odds and ends, and it just seemed like the club pro was always doing nothing. I mean, he'd just be standing around constantly. And so while we were working, we would just be bagging on this guy. I mean, look at this club pro, like more like club hack. Like, have you ever done anything besides just stand around? Like, you realize the cart barn, it will not fall over if you don't lean against it. Like, you can step away from it, do something, and it will still stay standing. Did you know that? Like, why don't you go hop on your cart and go drive around the course some more and just keep pounding Snickers and Pepsis all day long while we're out here just slaving away. All right, we'd let this guy have it when we're out of earshot. And then after he'd be gone, sometimes we would stand around and say, why do we work hard? It just seems like this guy does nothing and stands here. I mean, this guy is a bum. If I'm gonna work hard, why work hard for this guy? And we'd talk about, we'd fantasize about one day, because sometimes he'd call us out for things, and we're just like, really, here we go again. We'd fantasize about just going in there and just laying into this dude and just letting him have it. Let him have a piece of my mind. It always reminded me of the movie Click with Adam Sandler. Now, a lot of Adam Sandler movies can be a little bit crude for my taste, but in this movie Click, Sandler plays the role of a man named Michael Newman. And the premise of the movie Click is that he discovers a remote where he can basically pause life, rewind it, fast forward. And there's a scene in this movie where Newman walks into his overbearing boss's office and he puts the remote to good use. I'll show you this. Let me see if you've ever felt this way before.
Hey, my new stock. Congratulations. Sit down, big guy.
All right. Well, I am a little tired. The family was up late last night celebrating.
Oh, you really knocked one out of the park last night, didn't you?
Hey, you were great, too.
All you gotta do now is draw up the construction plans if Watsuhita commits to the major bulk of the funds. Looking at my new partner.
I thought I was already your partner.
Whoa, cowboy. I said land the Watsuhita account, you'll get promoted. I didn't mean right this second.
But I already told my wife, sir. I spent money I don't have. To do these documents, it's gonna take me months.
And you better get started. Wow, I just got a big headache. Wow, what, I was hit by a train or something?
I didn't see anything.
Let me ask you, you ever felt that way before? All right, I've had a few times like that in the past. Okay, well, if you ever felt that way, here's what we need to hear. Not only are we called to serve our earthly masters and bosses with sincerity of heart, we need to recognize that ultimately our work isn't just for them. Why? Because Paul says you aren't just serving a human boss. You're serving a heavenly king. And if you are the boss, your loyalty isn't just to your staff or to your board. You're also under a higher authority. You are serving a heavenly king in how you lead. So next time you're frustrated with your boss, next time you fantasize of walking up to your boss and going all Adam Sandler on them, remember, your work is about more than a boss, than just the boss. It's about serving God. You serve a higher authority. So how do I connect my work to God's work? I realize that as I'm working, I'm not just serving a human boss. I'm serving a heavenly king. But Paul goes on and he presents another shift that tells us how we connect our work to God's work. He says, shift number two is this. Realize that all work has more than instrumental value. It has intrinsic value. So if something has instrumental value, that means its value is found in that it can accomplish other things. But if something has intrinsic value, that means the thing itself has value. It's kind of like, think of a chip clip, all right? A chip clip has intrinsic value. We value it because of what it can do. It can keep a bag of chips from going stale. So it has instrumental value. But a chip clip does not have a lot of intrinsic value. The thing in and of itself, not a lot of value there. We value it for what it can do, not what it is. But Paul says, and kind of makes the case, that unlike a chip clip, which only has instrumental value, work has both instrumental and intrinsic value. Look at what Paul says as he goes on in Ephesians 6:6. He says, obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. In other words, when everyone else is gone and you're the only one at work and the boss's eye, no one else's eye is on you, that doesn't mean you just, you know, I stay clocked in and just check out Netflix. No, right? Just because the boss's eye is on me doesn't mean that the Lord's eye isn't on me. I'm serving him. But watch this now. I don't want you to miss this. Because he says, obey them to not only win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Let me just ask you again. Let's just remember. When Paul started this passage in Ephesians 6:5, who was he talking to? Who was he addressing? Slaves. Basically, the employees who were the lowest on the totem pole, doing what would appear to be some of the most menial and insignificant work. But notice, he refers to their work as the will of God, which means that even the most insignificant work is an extension of God's work. And this is important because you see what happens is that sometimes we can mistakenly think that, you know, it's only kind of like, you know, the pastors or missionaries who are really on, and those we deem to be on the front lines of ministry as those who are totally involved in God's work. And so what begins to happen is you think and say things like, well, what I do at best helps to generate revenue to fund the kingdom. The work isn't kingdom work, but the revenue we make can help fund and resource real kingdom work. Or we say, you know, my work connects to the kingdom because my workplace puts me in a unique place to share my faith and live out my faith with my coworkers. Now, in both those instances, you would be right. But see, what is happening is if you're viewing your work as only it generates revenue for the kingdom or just a platform, you are taking a view of your work as only having instrumental value. Meaning the value of my work is simply found in the fact that it can accomplish other things, like help to fund the kingdom or give me a platform to live out my faith. Now, those are both good things. They're not wrong. But realize, our work has more than instrumental value. The point is this, work has intrinsic value, meaning the work itself matters to God. Paul labeled the slave's work as an extension of God's work. So if the work at the bottom of the totem pole is an extension of God's work, what does this mean for every other work? It's all an extension of God's work. Now, I'm talking about legitimate work, okay? I wouldn't describe drug dealing or prostitution as legitimate work, but I'm saying, listen, all legitimate work, work that is not just strictly about engaging in sin, all legitimate work is an extension of God's work. Cutting grass, an extension of God's work. Slicing ham in a deli, extension of God's work. Driving a bus, extension of God's work. Selling a car, extension of God's work. Running a business, God's work. Working construction, God's work. Managing a farm, God's work. Running a classroom, God's work. Coaching a team, God's work. You are serving God and bringing value to the world he created. So I want you to recognize, I don't think the Bible talks a lot about there's secular work and sacred work. No, it's all done unto God. And it all connects because it's all an extension of his. So how do I connect my work to God? I realize that my work has more than just intrinsic value, meaning it can do other things. I need to realize that it has, it has more than instrumental value. It has intrinsic value. The work itself matters. Okay, then lastly, we need one other shift, which is this. Shift number three. Remember that work is tied to more than earthly rewards. It's tied to heavenly rewards. It's tied to more than earthly rewards. It's tied to heavenly rewards. Paul goes on to say in verses 7-8, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people. Again, the Lord's the one we're serving. Because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. Now, we're not talking about the reward of salvation, that you're working somehow to be saved. We're not talking about that here. We're talking about after you've been saved. There are certain rewards that the Lord gives and blesses. And again, he's talking to the lowest of the low in the workforce, a place in which there was not a lot of hope for advancement and monetary rewards. So Paul says, whether or not your work gets rewarded or noticed here, remember that when you're working for me, there's always a reward. There's a reward here, and there is a reward now and later. What's the reward now? The reward now is that when you work for the Lord and as if serving him, you find satisfaction and fulfillment in this life. Look at what Ecclesiastes said. I know that there is nothing better for a people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God. That's a reward. Finding satisfaction in the work that you do. When you're working for him, there's a sense of satisfaction and fulfillment that only he can bring. I was thinking about this week, and I'm remembering back when my grandpa was still alive. There'd be times as I was getting older that I'd go out and work on the farm with him. And, you know, he'd let me drive the tractor some days. We'd be out in the field farming. And I can still remember coming up after a day in the field working with him. And he'd always go lay down in the grass by the dog underneath a shade tree, right? He'd say, all right, go get us a pop. Get a Sunkist or a 7-Up. And I can still remember sitting under that tree with him and just and realizing the sense of satisfaction and fulfillment that comes about from a day where I've worked hard. There was just something that was like, you know what? I can't get this anywhere else. I can't get this feeling from sitting in front of a TV being entertained all day. There's something about satisfaction and fulfillment that comes from the Lord when I put in a good day's work serving him. You can't find that anywhere else. That's a gift from God. That's a reward, and that's a reward not everyone enjoys on this earth. Because it also goes on to say in Ecclesiastes that some lack nothing. They have it all, wealth, possessions, honor, but because they are not serving God, they don't have the ability to find fulfillment and satisfaction. That's a curse. Having wealth, possessions, and everything your heart desires, but yet not being able to enjoy it. There is a reward here and now when you work for the Lord. But there are also rewards later on in eternity. We don't always hit on this in church, but it's a clear teaching in Scripture that God will someday reward us for the work we've done here. Which means the reward of the work isn't always a paycheck, perks, or climbing the organizational ladder. The true reward will come in heaven someday. And when we remember that our work is tied to rewards in eternity, it changes how we work now. In fact, there's an increasing body of evidence that demonstrates how linking one's work to a greater purpose not only enhances everyday purpose, but leads to greater fulfillment. And the story of two-time Olympic champion Ashton Eaton, I believe, illustrates this so well. Ashton Eaton is a champion decathlete. Some say that he is one of the greatest athletes of all time. The decathlon is a true test of athleticism because, right, you're focused on one thing. You're focused on 10 different events. It's not just I'm a sprinter or a long distance runner or a long jumper or a shot putter. No, you have to be able to do all of those and do them well. So you must have the perfect combination of speed, strength, and endurance. But in 2015, in order to break the world record at the World Championships, Eaton needed to run faster than 4 minutes and 18 seconds in the final event, which was the 1,500-meter run. So we're talking 100 yards shy of a mile. This is a significant challenge in and of itself. I mean, that's you're moving. And at this point, this is the last event out of 10. Eaton had already completed the other 9 events and was so far ahead in the standings that he just needed to finish the race to lock up gold. All he's got to do is finish, and he wins gold. In other words, he's dog-tired, and he has little to gain from going all out, especially because the record he'd be trying to break was already his own that he'd set a few years before that. But nevertheless, Eaton decided to go for it in the last event. I asked the question, why? Why would you do that? Why put yourself through that when you already got the gold? I want you to listen to what Eaton told the media after. He said, when the pain came on, I was just thinking, it's not for me, so I have to go. When questioned further, Eaton said, really, as I was running, I was just thinking about me sitting on the couch when I was little, watching somebody like Michael Johnson or Carl Lewis jump and run. And that's really the reason I'm here today. And so I thought, maybe there's a kid on the couch somewhere, and if I break the world record, they'll be inspired to do what I'm doing. I want you to remember, I told you Eaton needed to run that race in 4 minutes and 18 seconds to break the world record. He ended up running that race in 4 minutes and 17 seconds. And here's what I want you to see. Eaton was not just focused on the race in front of him. He was focused on the greater reward of possibly inspiring a kid somewhere. And as he focused on the reward later, it changed the race now. And I believe the same thing happens in our work when we focus on not just the here and now, but we begin to focus on what's coming later. We shift our focus and remember that the true reward is what the Lord will give someday. And if you'll focus there, it will change the way that you work today. It will change the way I work every day. There's some of you here who are listening today, and the last year and a half, man, it's taken a toll on you. You're tired, you're worn out. Some of you feel overlooked at your job, that it just seems like no one ever cares what I do. They don't see the contributions I make, never get noticed, never get rewarded for what I've done. And I just want to let you know that even if no one sees it here, the Lord sees it. The Bible talks about him being the unseen seer. He sees what you do. He knows what you're going through, what you've done. And you know what? He doesn't forget. And he'll bless you. He'll bless you now, and he will reward you later. And so I want to encourage you, if you're in that place today, I know that's not an easy place to be, but to say, you know what, I'm going to keep my focus off of all the things I wish were different right now. And you know what, Lord, I'm going to keep my focus on you because I know you see, and I know you don't forget. And I know that there's blessing when I'm working to serve you and that you will reward me for the work that I'm doing. When we shift our focus, it changes the way we work today. So how do we connect our work to God's work? We make those three shifts. We recognize that work is about more than serving a human boss. It's about serving a heavenly king. All work has more than instrumental value. It has intrinsic value. And then shift number 3, work is tied to more than earthly rewards. It's tied to heavenly rewards. Church, work is more than just a good thing. It's a God thing. Yes, we were made to rest, we were made to play, but we were also made for Monday. We were made to work. God's a worker, we were created to work. So now, as we close, let's transition to a time of communion around the Lord's table. So if you have your communion elements with you, I want you to pull those out now. And we'll close around the Lord's table. You know, I said this last time we were taking communion. This is just something the Lord's been teaching me through communion, that a lot of times when we come to the Lord's table and partake of communion together, we can come to the conclusion that communion is just about remembering the pain that Jesus endured on the cross. That we're just coming to just remember, man, Jesus, man, he went through it. And Jesus is saying, yeah, I just want you to remember how, you know, it hurt. You need to know that. And that's certainly a part of it. But I think more so when we come to the Lord's table, he's not just saying you need to remember the pain. The Lord's saying, I want you to remember what I accomplished through the cross. That through the cross, there is victory. That through the cross, there is deliverance. That through the cross, there is freedom. Not only from the penalty of my sin, but also the power of sin in this life that so easily entangles. And don't you forget it. You're an overcomer through the cross. And so it's with that in mind and that heart that we approach the table again with the Lord, with a spirit of thanksgiving in our hearts for what he's accomplished. The Bible says on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, he broke it and said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's partake together, church. Peel off that next layer. And the Bible talks about the life. There's life in the blood. There's life in the blood of Jesus. He imparts new life to us. His blood covers our sin, washes us, sanctifies us. We're so thankful for the blood, Jesus. Empowers us to continue following him and walking after him. The Bible says that after supper, he took the cup, said, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's partake together. Jesus. Now, church, if you'll stand as we close, we'll pray together before you head out. So, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is good, that your word changes things. It changes us. It changes hearts. It changes minds. And Lord, I pray that through this series, you would help us to rediscover what your word says about work. And ultimately, that there is no satisfaction and fulfillment apart from you. And that we cannot violate your design and expect to find satisfaction and fulfillment. Lord, I pray you'd give us fresh strength and endurance to keep serving you wherever we may be working, as if we are not just serving an earthly master, we're serving you. I pray you'd keep our eyes on that, Lord, that we're here to serve you in this life. And Lord, for those who are tired, those who are worn out, those who feel overlooked, Lord, again, I pray your fresh strength, endurance, energy. But I pray you would remind us today that you are the unseen seer. You see, and you bless, and you reward. I pray you'd help us to keep our focus there, Lord. And I pray your blessing over every single one of your people. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, church. Thanks so much for being here. Listen, we're going to have a prayer team down front. We'd love to pray with you if you need prayer for anything. Have a great rest of your day and Labor Day, and we'll hope to see you back next week. Northwoods Online, thanks so much for tuning in with us, wherever you might be tuning in with us from. Always great to have you. And hey, I'll be praying for you this week. Again, keep your eyes as you're working. Keep them on the fact that, you know what, I'm serving a heavenly King, and he is the unseen seer who sees, and he will reward. Keep serving wholeheartedly, as Paul said. I'll be praying for you. And hey, have a great Sunday and Labor Day week. Hope it's a restful one for you.
Well, wasn't that an awesome service?
Yeah, so good.
Great to kick off this series, Made for Mondays. Remember, this is an awesome series to specifically be inviting coworkers
Absolutely.
To. You know, it's all about our mindset when it comes to the workplace, so it's great to have your coworkers take in the service with you.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, you heard in announcements this weekend that there is a lot going on here at the church and a lot of ways that you can plug in. And just know that that is something that we want for you so much, because there's so much value in community.
Yes,
you
absolutely.
Know, Kayla and I have the joy of working together, but we're also in a small group. We're connected in community and building
absolutely.
That friendship. You know, she's somebody I can trust with the things going on in my life, and we want that for you. And you can find that in any of the classes, ministries, groups, whatever it might be that we offer here. They're all very centered around community. And so a great place for you to find all of the information about all of those things is the Northwoods app for your phone. You can go into the menu and there's an event calendar. There are opportunities to serve. You can sign up to be in a small group or request prayer, whatever it might be. Be sure that you get that app downloaded and find a place where you can plug in this fall.
That's right. You know, if you have never tried serving here at Northwoods, I would just encourage you that this fall to just take that step wherever it is online. You could do that from home or one of our many ministries. You know, that's how Hope and I got connected, was through serving together in Converge. So I encourage you, if you've never done that, if you've thought about that, you've been on the fence, make now the time to do that. Take that next step, get involved in serving. So we're so glad that you joined us here this weekend. Thank you for being a part of our Northwoods family. We'll see you next week.